This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Bloomington aldermen voted to change the solid waste fee structure and the frequency of some pickups. They also received a presentation on the budget and approved a one-year moratorium on gaming machines. GLT's Ryan Denham is in the studio with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner.
Bloomington and Normal mayors join us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here, as usual.
Alderman chose an option that raises fees on two of the garbage cart sizes and reduces the frequency of bulk waste pickup. Is the discussion of solid waste after years of this finally going to be finished for a little while?
I certainly hope so. It certainly is. We now have, in a sense, a balanced enterprise fund and a means for it to increase in the future. And let me say, this was an enterprise fund as of 2011. It has never been anywhere near breaking even. We had millions of dollars in deficits, and we did close some of that gap about 4 years ago, but now we're really there. I really was stunned for a few minutes right after last night's city council meeting, but we did it and we're moving forward. And I think overall, this will be a reasonable compromise. Is it what any one individual wanted? No. But that's part of what the legislative process is all about and policymaking generally.
So there's a $4 increase for 95 and 65-gallon carts, no increase for the 35-gallon carts.
And if I could point out on that,
sure.
One of the good things about that is that helps to help encourage people to further recycle. If you don't want to pay anything, you can downsize your cart for free. So get rid of that 95-gallon or that 65-gallon cart and go down to a 35-gallon cart, frankly, which is what I have. And I, like this morning, when I put out my trash, it was barely full. And my recycle was, I had to stuff it down, you know. So essentially, if you don't want to pay anything more, you have that option. Just recycle more.
What about the flip side of that? Is there any concern that the cheaper option will end up contaminating the recycling stream with people opting to put, you know, garbage in the recycling cart because they've run out of room in their actual garbage cart?
There's always that kind of risk. You know, in talking to mayors in other cities, they're depending on what that increase is. You know, if it's $4, it's probably less likely that we'll have problems like that than if it were $15 or $20 a month. You know, in one of the proposals would have raised the small cart fee from $16 to $26. Now, again, $10 a month might not seem like a lot, but for some people, that might be the incentive for them to throw whatever, paint cans and other stuff that should not be in a recycling bin.
So some aldermen were hung up on the annual 3% fee increase. And costs go up, but this 3% increase was proposed in the context of a reserve, building up that reserve.
Absolutely.
Is that reserve, how's that going to be used? Is it going to be addressing capital improvements like new trucks, that kind of thing?
Well, that is yet to be determined by the council. Right now, the council has passed that policy. And this is based, let's be clear, on a 25-year rolling average. And whether or not some years it's been 2.9 or 3.1, we've had about a 3% increase with everything included. And that's not, that's salaries, although salaries have rarely gone up 3%. Salaries usually are considerably lower than that, but your overall cost is higher because healthcare goes up at much more than 3%. And then obviously you've got to buy new trucks and you've got to buy new equipment and you've got to fix the old equipment. And so for over about a quarter century, it's been an average of about 3%. So at this point, future councils will inherit a very different situation, a much better situation than what we inherited. And that is, if they do nothing about trash, it will still continue to pay for itself.
And there's no sunset built into this. So how long do you think it'll be before the council takes a look at that 3% increase?
My guess is they're going to ask some serious questions within a year. I think that was part of the debate last night, even by many who voted in favor. Again, this passed 6-3. But there will be three council members who did not like the 3% increase. And so I think they will be asking questions. But even the six council members who voted for it, this was not a blank check. The council never gives anybody a blank check. So I would say that this is going to be part of the annual review process, which it should be part of a budget. When you go through a budget, that doesn't mean that you don't ask tough questions about what's happened in the past. So certainly the council next year could say, no, that 3% was enough. right? I doubt that they will do that because we really should have capital reserves. And that will help future councils balance other parts of the budget because the general fund, and in other words, taxpayers overall, won't have to in their revenues, whether it be property taxes and mostly sales taxes, continue to subsidize trash.
Let's pivot and talk about bulk pickup. So the change that was made last night was instead of every other week, bulk pickup will be, you know, not for free, but for the cost of admission two times a year, fall and the spring. And if you call Public Works, pay $25, you can get an extra bucket pickup whenever you'd like. So does that mean the city will no longer be losing money on bulk pickup, or is that going to be fully
We're still losing money on bulk pickup. It's just that the overall, and I believe the figure last night was it cost us about $125 a scoop. And that's actually quite a bit of material. And right now we're only charging $25, and in the future that's about all we'd charge. It's just that we actually have a surplus in just picking up trash. So that surplus in just picking up trash will subsidize the other pieces of the pie, if you will.
Well, are you concerned at all about the accumulation of bulky waste potentially, you know, stacking up outside of properties as a result of this change going from every other week to just twice a year?
Yeah, that is a possible concern. The thing is that we do now have much more aggressive code enforcement, and it's obviously, you know, it's whether or not it's something like that. It's not perfect, as we have seen with the recent fire and hundreds of violations of people who are landlords with dilapidated properties. Now we have an administrative court, which we can haul them in within usually 72 hours, or like the situation at Gettysburg apartment, we can also be filing complaints in circuit court.
The action last night on last night's agenda and in the last several meetings have been structured a little bit differently. So Alderman chose option two of three proposals that way they were presented with, these kind of sample motions that were kind of listed on the agenda. This level of organization on agendas is new. It's kind of like a menu almost if you're at a restaurant. Is this something that that interim city manager Steve Rasmussen has brought to the council? And what do you think of it so far?
Under the budget, Steve and I talked about the predicaments that we've gone through in the past when we've had tough budget decisions and thought that presenting some tangible options, as Steve began to do back in December, not quite like sample motions, but ideas. Okay, this is what it would take to balance the budget. If you don't like this, then this. Make this trade-off. Here's some examples of ways that you can do that. And I think Steve has provided fantastic leadership on getting the council to be more productive in making the decisions for budgetary trade-offs generally, and obviously with solid waste in particular.
That's Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is Sound Ideas. Let's continue this discussion on the budget. You heard from interim city manager Steve Rasmussen on the budget last night. Fee increases and service cutbacks will help erase a third of the deficit that we've been talking about here today. How confident are you that the council will walk out of meetings next month with a budget in hand and that aldermen will actually have forward momentum on this thing?
I think... I'm very confident. Now, if you'd have asked me this last week, I might have said I'm fairly confident, but I'm definitely very confident now, because one of the toughest decisions was the decision on solid waste. And once we've got that $1.1 million piece out of it, it was the largest single piece. And the difficulty is that we're always looking for economies of scale, and we're always looking for trying ways to save money. But we had well over 100 employees more back in 2009 with a smaller population, and we were delivering the same services. So we've cut, and by that I mean full-time equivalent employees. So, and that's usually the best measure. So we're down well over 100 employees, and it's harder to find big cuts anymore. And that's one of the things that the budget task force that I put together in the summer of 2015 found. There were lots of suggestions that they had. I thought that that was actually a great success. And it was a success in not because we found a golden goose, but because a lot of the things that people were talking about either weren't going to save us money or weren't going to save us anywhere near what you had thought. For example, privatizing the golf courses. You know, we can argue whether or not it was a good idea to build two extra golf courses. That's immaterial right now. We've got three of them. And with those golf courses, even if we were to privatize them, we're still on the hook for capital expenditures. And so it does us really no good. So essentially, we do still have, in the future, we'll have budgetary challenges. But when we vote on this, and I believe actually we will be voting on this in April, probably the first meeting in April, rather than in March. We do the March meeting, we're still looking to have more of a deep dive budget workshop on a Saturday, and that doodle poll is not producing what we, you know, a magical date for us yet.
What did the council do last night in regards to video gaming and what direction this is going to go?
They did vote for a moratorium on video gaming, and I have mixed emotions about that. Not because I am pro video gaming, quite the contrary. I think it's really unfortunate that we have such a large, we're one of the top cities in Illinois outside of Chicago in terms of gambling. So I think there are some issues. But I would not have put on a moratorium. It passed 9-0 for 1 year, and that's for a variety of reasons. One is the current, mostly bar owners who are making incredible profits.
So why did they pass a moratorium? What was the logic there?
I believe the main impetus for this may very well have been the Circle K proposal in Ward 5. Amelia Burgess, councilwoman from Ward 4, suggested maybe 3 to 6 months, and let's take a look at some of this. I would have proposed that. Now, one of the other reasons why is this is not necessarily good public policy, but this is Illinois law. And so if you give someone a particular type of liquor license, then they can have video gaming, especially if they're, you know, like Fridays could have that. But Fridays is, that's not their business model to have video gaming. So you have to have a liquor license in order to have video gaming. And so there are some possible downtown investors who have plugged into their model of profit some increment of money from video poker. It also means, again, that the people who currently have the video poker machines are probably really having a big smile this morning because they now have a monopoly for at least a year.
Do you think ultimately the city can extract more money, more revenue out of those machines, either through ultimately a licensing fee?
Every other metro city in Illinois has a fee on top of the percentage that is quite, that the state taxes. And so normal is $200. That's on the low side. Many are $500, $1,000 per machine. And the thing that you can be sure of is nobody will take their machines out because the profit on that is, the profit margin is really unlike anything I'd ever seen.
Mayor Renner, thanks for your time again on GLT's Sound Ideas.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Take care.
I'm Ryan Denham.
And I'm Mike McCurdy. The mayors of Bloomington and Normal answer questions on Sound Ideas following regular Monday evening at council meetings. You'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Koos during Sound Ideas next Tuesday. Thanks for choosing 89.1 FM, GLT, and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.